Welcome to episode 6 of the You Matter podcast series with the Noonday Collection. I'm Whitney Ray, and today we have Tamara Akalilu. She is sharing again about what it means to prioritize and cherish children in Uganda. We really hope that you walk away from today's episode seeing the connection between your trunk shows and your steps of courage and the way that it's allowing families to prioritize and cherish their children. It is incredible and powerful to understand that each of us, whether we're in a big town, a small town, involved community, or a somewhat disengaged community, no matter where we are and where we live, we have the chance to empower big change around the world. Tamara's going to share with us a little bit more, and I cannot wait for you to hear from her. As a reminder, the You Matter podcast was created to communicate to ambassadors like you how you matter and connect you with the stories of impact happening because of you. Without ambassadors, Noonday would not exist. And we've hashtagged You Matter. We did that because we really want this to be a conversation. So I love seeing your comments on Facebook, and it's always so much fun to pull out a comment to share on the episode. So today I've pulled out a comment from Jill Edwards. After listening to episode 5 about women's empowerment in Ethiopia, she had a very specific trunk show, and she thoughtfully created a space for connection at our show. She did a great style and storytelling section, and this is how she ended it, and here's the impact she got. I ended it with a gentle reminder that the catalyst for reaching more and more women and children and families and communities is the trunk show. Women saying yes to creating a marketplace in their homes. Every time someone says yes, we are creating space for the disempowered woman in Addis Ababa. Yes means dignity, self-worth, hope, and a future. Four women said yes and booked a trunk show, y'all. This has never happened ever at any of my previous shows. Jill, that is so exciting and such an encouragement for every ambassador. Thank you for your willingness to go out there, create that space of connection at your trunk show, to really not be shy about styling, storing, and educating. That is really what it's all about, and I cannot wait to hear the impact that those 4 trunk shows have on your business. And because we know your time matters, I want to go ahead and make sure that you've seen the September calendar on Bloomfire. This is something you can print out and keep in your workspace if you like to check things off a list, or you can save to your computer. We just want to make sure you know what's going on this month. September really is a very special month for Noonday, as we are celebrating Noonday's 5th birthday. We're kicking it off with a sale from September 3rd through the 30th on all Ugandan items, along with some trunk show specials that you can read about on Bloomfire. I want to share with you a little bit of background. As we were preparing for this episode and talking about the promotions, I remembered what it was like when Noonday first began. Jessica gathered us on a group call. There were about 15 or so ambassadors at the time, and she told us about Jolly and Daniel. She gave us an update and told us about the 11 artisans they had, but let us know that at this point they were only working part-time and that she wanted to place a reorder with them, but to do that, there needed to be more trunk shows. So she challenged each of us to go ahead and make a list and call 20 people that day to ask them to book a trunk show. And I have to say, I was absolutely terrified. I hated calling people on the phone, and it just seemed so hard for me, and I didn't know how I was going to get it done. But it was at that point when Jessica was sharing that I made the connection, and I realized that I had the title of ambassador for a reason. I was here in Houston on behalf of Jalia and Daniel and the artisans in their group. And if they were here and that if they could call the people I had on my list, I knew that they would because they knew how important the work was for their community. So I did it. I went ahead, I made those 20 calls, and you know what? The first calls, they weren't the strongest, they weren't the best, but I made them, and I grew more confident with each and every call. And yes, some people said no, but then some of those people said yes. And those yeses led to shows, those shows led to reorders, and that led to a few more artisans being hired. And then it brought us to today. So I want to encourage you that just because Noonday is bigger than the 15 ambassadors that we had at that time, you still matter. That 300th employee in Uganda matters, and you better believe that they have a list of the next 100 employees they want to hire. So if you're on the fence today, you're trying to decide what you're going to do in September and October and how you're going to engage with your business, I really hope today's episode encourages you to go out there and really embrace your role as ambassador. If you don't call the people on your list, who will? And you know what? If we all just did one more show or added on $100 to our month in sales, we would have a tremendous impact together. Now, before we go to Tamara, I want you to hear from Wynn Elder. She's going to give you a little more history as well. She was one of the very first ambassadors, and she got to visit Joliet and Daniel when Jessica went for the very first time. I can't wait for her to share with you some of her memories of that group and some of her hopes for the future so that you can really celebrate together with us the partnership that has grown over the past 5 years.
Hey y'all, my name is Wynn Elder, and I was one of the first ambassadors for Noonday back in the day, and I'm excited to be with you today to share a little bit about my experience traveling with Jessica in 2011 to Uganda to meet Jolya and Daniel for the first time in Uganda. So it was super fun. I was super honored to get to go with Jessica to meet Jolya and Daniel before going on to Rwanda to meet up with Joe to photograph them finalizing and bringing home their son, Jack, and their adoption. And I hope that you know the story behind Noonday and how it began, but Jack is really how it began. So if you don't know that story, I encourage you to learn it. It's amazing. But I want to tell you a little bit about African Style and our friends there in Uganda. So when Jessica and I traveled, she had never met Jolya and Daniel before. And we went and we spent a few days in a home that they were staying in for some friends temporarily that summer. And it was just really incredible to get to go and be with the artisans. There were 11 of them, plus Jolya and Daniel at the time, Bukenya and his brother Caleb, his wife Coral, and we're all there. Mama Jabal was there and several other of the women that are still employed with African Style. This home that they were in had this great covered patio, like porch, like screened-in porch kind of thing. And we spent our days out there sitting around the table telling stories while the women rolled the beads and made the necklaces. And I remember at the end of the week, I took photographs of each woman and we put their necklaces on them. And you just could see them light up when we put those necklaces. They're so proud of their work and so proud of what they do. And actually, I was just talking to a potential new ambassador this week, and I was showing her the picture of Jolya and Daniel in the back of the current catalog lookbook is the picture I took from that trip in 2011. And I was telling her all about our amazing community and the work that we do as ambassadors and what Noonday does all around the globe. And I said, you know, really why we do what we do is for our artists and business partners like Jolya and Daniel at African Style. They're really the ones that started this whole thing. And just to see their passion for art, their passion to learn business and to employ people and give them dignified jobs, and not just to employ them, but to love them and to walk with them and to pray with them and to celebrate their birthdays and to help give their children education and have a daycare so they can bring their kids with them to work. It's really, really incredible how far it's come. So back in 2011, when we were there and there were 11 of them, now we know there's over 300 people that African Style employs. And instead of working in a small house, they now have a huge compound in Kampala. And the last time I got to visit Jolya and Daniel in Uganda was at their new compound, and we were welcomed once again with joy and singing and dancing, which is so traditional for the Ugandan culture, and gave us a tour of their incredible compound and just to see all the different areas of the work that goes into making each piece that they produce is incredible. The traditions that they have, and they celebrate birthdays, which a lot of the artisans have never celebrated birthdays before. And it's just beautiful. It's beautiful the lives that they're touching and impacting, and how we get to be a part of that as ambassadors, how we are connected to them, and we couldn't do our job without them, and they couldn't do their job without us. And it really is a beautiful thing. And I just hope that you enjoy this interview, and I hope that it empowers you and gets you excited in this new season to continue to share their story with everyone that comes to your trunk show. These are real people just like you and me who are working hard for their families, who want to have purpose in their work, and who just love what they do. So I hope you enjoy it. It's an incredible story. They have come so far, and they are not going anywhere anytime soon. They have so much passion, and I know it will come through. Enjoy.
Thanks, Wynn. Now it's time to hear from Tamara Akhlilu. She's Noonday's manager of production and sourcing for Latin America and Africa. She sat down a few weeks ago with Katie McCauley. This was right before her maternity leave for her sweet little boy, Justice. In this interview, she shares with us about how children are being prioritized and cherished in Uganda because of the partnership between Noonday and Jolie and Daniel's group.
Today I want to talk about children. Cultural ideas about children are different from country to country. And I've talked before about what mothers will do for their children in Ethiopia. What I found is that all over the world, we all have in common that we all love our kids. However, when we talk about cherishing children, I think we mean something much deeper than just the fuzzy feelings of loving our kids. We think about something much deeper. When Noonday says that one of our pillars is cherishing children, we mean that we're actually committed to using our resources in ways that prioritize children. While we all love our children, in many places, resources are very short, and resources are not always prioritized towards the needs of children. So we want to be able to pour our time, our money, and our energy into children. In places with fewer resources, sometimes we see that the children are the ones that eat last. It's not because children aren't cherished. It's just all about priorities. And children are not the top priority. Parents don't always have the kind of resources to be able to give their children what they would love to be able to give them. You can imagine how frustrating this is for parents who want to prioritize their children, but live in areas with fewer resources. Even those who are working and working hard have to make choices. Part of being human is to naturally love your children. You can imagine how dehumanizing it is to not be able to provide for your children in the way that you would like to be able to. Daniel and Jolia in Uganda have talked about this. We've heard Daniel talk about walking on the street looking for someone to buy his Bible, his last prized possession, in order to be able to feed Zoe and Zach. So for those of you who don't know, Daniel and Jolly are the owners of African Style. Noonday's been working with African Style for 5 years now. They are the ones who really inspired Jessica to be able to do this business, to create what has become this phenomenal movement of Noonday Collection. And we're still working very closely with them. Daniel and Jolia's business has grown and expanded. The number of artisans has expanded. And also the things that they're able to do for their employees has increased and is continuing to increase. Over the years, Daniel and Jolia saw increasing needs in the area of prioritizing children. So they saw the frustration in their employees' faces and in their voices when they would come to work frustrated and exasperated because they struggle with finding a place to put their children during the day, especially the younger ones that are not in school. And some of them were constantly frustrated about the level of care that their children were getting, both in the schools that they had put their children in and then those who were staying home with a neighbor or friend. Daniela and Jolia really have a heart to reach people's felt needs and to reach the whole family. When we started the scholarship program last year, it was an attempt to give the children of their employees a better opportunity for a future. So they started with the grade school children. They saw that they weren't getting adequate education. When I first went to Uganda and started working with Daniel and Jalia, one of the first things we did was start talking about scholarships. So on one trip, I came and they had already set up a parents committee, which is very cool. The parents had gotten together and they were deciding together which schools they would want to send their children to. And, you know, they were instructed to find a good medium school that wasn't too expensive, but that was adequate for their children. And so they had gone around to different schools. That was very empowering for those parents to be able to have that kind of option and choice in their children's schooling. That was really exciting for them. And they had chosen a couple different schools. But Jalia took me aside and she said, "I don't think these schools are good enough for our kids. I really don't think you are going to accept these schools. I'm really embarrassed to show them to you. So I want to take you around and I want to show you what the parents have chosen, and you tell me what you think." The school that Daniel and Jolly and I landed on, that we and the couple parents that were with us, that we thought really would work for our kids, that would be at a level that we could really feel comfortable with, was called King's Academy. And there were plenty of teachers, and what we saw in the classrooms was a huge difference in terms of the attitude of the teachers, the atmosphere of the classroom. It was one of talking, learning, asking questions, trying things. It was not simply scribbling down what they saw on the board. But I felt like the kids were actually learning. And this was beyond what the parents even dreamed of for their kids. They were like, "What? We would love to have our kids here. We didn't know that we could, that that was an option." And so in some ways, the parents themselves were even settling for less than they could have had. And so they were really excited when we settled on this school. Over time, Daniel and Jalia continued the scholarship program, and they started expanding their thinking towards the younger children. They started listening to their employees kind of complain about the struggle of finding adequate childcare for the younger kids. And so they started dreaming about having a daycare. So I want to share with you a couple of the stories of the parents who are AFS employees and what they said about their feelings of this continuous struggle regarding childcare. So, Namusisi, Victoria, is a 24-year-old widow. She's a mother with one son, and she was excited when they first started exploring the concept of having a daycare for their employees. She says that during the holidays, she didn't have any option but to leave her 4-year-old son with the neighbors, who charged her a daily fee of 2,000 shillings, which is about a dollar. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but it was a lot for her. Despite the fee, which was really high for her, she was always frustrated that the caretakers didn't take very good care of her children. They were careless and unfaithful, she said. She said, quote, "These people don't feed my son on time, and their hygiene is extremely poor, which exposes my child to all kinds of sickness." So one of the women that I talked to on one of my trips to Uganda is Joan, and she was saying that while she is at work, she leaves her 2-year-old baby with her grandmother. The problem is that her grandmother can barely take care of herself. She can barely feed herself, and she has trouble preparing meals for herself and the baby. So Joan, before coming to work, has to prepare meals for both the baby and the grandmother. Then when she's at work, she worries whether the grandmother will be able to warm up the food and serve the child. So the daycare would save Joan from the worry of having to prepare food in the morning and the worry that maybe her child wouldn't get fed on time. And it would also relieve her grandmother of the hectic task of having to take care of a toddler. So basically, all the parents are telling the same story, that they're leaving their children with neighbors and friends, sometimes even relatives, who don't take care of their children the way that they would, and that they're having to spend time preparing food and packing lunches in the morning that is difficult for them, and then having to walk a long way. Sometimes they have to walk a long distance to take their child to the place where they leave them and then walk again or take another bus to work. So they're having to get up really early in the morning. It's very hectic. In addition, like during holidays, parents have to find places to leave their older children as well. Even those that are on scholarship and in good schools have to find some place for those kids. And often the kids are really just running around the neighborhood, actually. In addition to the scholarships, Daniel and Jolia have started this childcare. And the vision behind the daycare is not only to provide for their employees to be able to have peace of mind while they work, but also to really pour into the lives of children. So we don't just want to put them in a place that's safe where they will be fed, although that's the first priority. We also want to educate them. We want to prepare them for school. We want them to be able to have the skills that they need to be able to go into kindergarten at a good academic level, to really just know their alphabet and their numbers and all these things that are just really basic to starting school. And then in addition, they want to create an atmosphere of learning. They want to create an atmosphere of love. They want to create an atmosphere of critical thinking and asking questions. So in their culture, children aren't really encouraged to ask a lot of questions. People don't often talk to their child in a way that really stimulates their mind. People don't necessarily read to their children because there's just a lack of books, much less children's books. So they want to be able to provide all those things that open up children's minds and that really give them a head start in life. They want to be able to provide a little bit higher level of education than simply childcare. So this was Daniel and Jolia's dream and vision, really was all them. They came to Travis about it, and Travis was excited about it as well. So that started at the beginning of 2015. So that has been going on, the childcare, for half a year now. So it's really exciting to be able to see the pictures that Jolia posts on Facebook. Just recently, she posted a few of the kids playing on real playground equipment. Like, I have never seen that. That's really cool. They have really cool playground equipment, and the kids look like they're having a great time. And I am just so proud of the way that African Style has prioritized children in their workshop. By really prioritizing their resources and putting them into the places that would really benefit children. So just to be clear, Noonday helps them financially, but it's like a little bit less than half of their budget. And so Daniel and Jolia are using their own money from their own profits, from their own business. And I think that's really important because they're really proud about Africans being able to serve Africans and provide for their own people. And I'm really excited about seeing them be able to have the resources to make those decisions about what issues in their community are most important to them and pouring their resources into that. And it's really cool that that's one of the most pressing social issues for them in their community, children, that they're prioritizing children. I'm just really proud of the way that this company partners with other companies who all prioritize children. And it's not just about loving our children, but cherishing our children really means putting our money where our mouth is, basically. So when you buy Noonday products, especially AFS products, you know that you're supporting children and you're supporting companies that prioritize children. So as the orders are going up, especially for paper products, for paper jewelry from Daniel and Jolia's shop, we know that that has a direct connection to being able to employ more artisans in their community and also to be able to reach more children. So I want to encourage you to think about your own children and think about the children in your life, your friends' children and the children that you love. Imagine if you were not able to give them everything that you want to be able to give them. Imagine if you were not able to provide safety and a good atmosphere for your children, how frustrating that would be, how disempowering that would be. And just remember that what you're doing brings empowerment to parents to be able to do what they need to and want to be able to do for their children. So when you make sacrifices, we want to say thank you, because those sacrifices are empowering parents to be everything that they were created to be as parents. And they are now freed up and opened up to be able to love their children, cherish their children in physical and practical and tangible ways, and in the same way that we cherish our children. So thank you for the time that you spend pouring your energy, your resources, your time, and your money into this business. The evenings that you spend away from your children, you may even feel guilty about the time that you're taking away from your child, but that time is really prioritizing children on a global level. When you take that time, even though it may be a few hours away from your own child, you're giving back to other people's children. You're empowering parents to spend more time with their children and to have more peace of mind when they think about their children. And really, your family is contributing to other families in different parts of the world. And really, in a way, it allows your husband and your children and the children in your life who you love to be part of what you do, to really even sacrifice a little time away from mom to be able to support other children. And maybe that's something that you can talk to your kids about. Hey, you know, when I'm away for just a little bit, it means that other kids are able to eat and go to school and have some of the things that you have. And that makes me feel so great. So thank you, and thank you to your families for what you do to cherish children.
Thank you so much, Tamara. You've provided a clear connection between what we ambassadors do and the way it can empower families in Uganda to be able to prioritize and cherish their children. I'm really excited about sharing some of this with my family. I want to really let them know how together we're making an impact around the world. And I am so thankful to have these stories to share during the month of September as we are celebrating the partnership that Noonday has had with Jolly and Daniel's group over these past 5 years. Thank you so much, Tamara. There is so many great things that I'm going to be able to share at my upcoming trunk shows. Now, please take a moment and share your takeaways from today's episode over on our Facebook wall using the hashtag YouMatter. Let's keep this conversation going until next time. As you interact, we'll drive content, and hopefully I can share your voice on a podcast soon. Thanks for listening in, and we will talk again soon.